know that. Yeah, raise your hand. Let's do one. We sometimes, let's see how loud it is.
To the Father through Jesus the Son, give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Thank you for ministering to my heart, Thornton and Virginia and all of you. Let's open our Bibles at this time to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 for our study in God's Word this morning. 1 John 4 verse 1 is going to be found on page 1324. Page 1324 in the Pew Bible. And right after Hebrews and James and 1 and 2 Peter in everyone's Bible. How many of you do not have the handout? Raise your hand. If you do not have the handout that says 1 John 4, verse 1. Everybody's got one. That's terrific. Today is February 12th, 2012. And our text is going to be found in 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. And the title that we've selected for this morning's message is, Don't Believe Everything You Hear. Don't believe everything you hear. A few months ago, we talked about that old Marvin Gaye song, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Remember that? It was a song about a man who heard through the grapevine that his girl was planning to let him go for some other guy that she knew before. But he wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. So he quotes an old saying in the song. People say believe half of what you see, son, and none of what you hear. Yeah, there you go. I figure if President Obama can sing Al Green, I can sing Marvin Gaye. Although I think he sounded a little bit better. See, now, if you're listening by tape, don't you wish you were here for all this fun? Now, the question is, does anyone know who he's quoting with that old saying? That's an old saying, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Was it? And Jim Penny knew. It goes all the way back to Benjamin Franklin, who was, by the way, famous for his wise old sayings. Well, it was wise for Marvin Gaye not to believe that his girl was leaving him until he heard it from her. And it's wise for you not to believe every doctrine that comes along. And that brings us to the opening verse of our text in 1 John 4 and verse 1. I direct your attention now to 1 John 4 and verse 1, where the Apostle John says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, as we begin, we got to ask, What kind of spirit are we talking about here when it says, believe not every spirit? When we think of a spirit, we think of a ghost, right? And the Bible uses the word spirit that way. I direct your attention to your first cross reference. In Luke 24:39, you remember, after the Lord rose from the dead, He said to His apostles in Luke 24:39, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So the Bible does use the word spirit for a ghost. But that's not what John's talking about here when he says, believe not every spirit. He's not saying, when you see a ghost, don't believe what he says. Test what he says. Folks, if you see a ghost, I'd advise you to ask where the back door is. And if they don't have one, say, where do you want one? Because you're just going to go right through the wall, right? Well, listen. We know he's not talking about ghosts here because of what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, try the spirits because many false spirits have gone into the world. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, try the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The spirits that he's talking about are prophets. So he's not saying don't believe every ghost that comes along. He's saying don't believe every prophet that comes along. You see, folks, the prophets, they had a spirit within them that caused them to prophesy, that spoke through them. In 1 Corinthians 14:32, your next cross reference, Paul talks about the spirits of the prophets. Now, the prophets of God had the Holy Spirit within them. But false prophets had an unholy spirit inside of them. And you read about that in your next reference, 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul predicts that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to spirits, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Now, once again, he's not warning about seducing ghosts. Men teach doctrines. And when men teach false doctrines, they're being inspired by a spirit within them, the spirit of Satan and his host. The Apostle Paul talks about that in your next reference, when in 2 Corinthians 11:13, he talks about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no big deal, no great thing, if his ministers also be, watch this, transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now, when it says Satan's ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, that doesn't mean Satan's demons become men. It means when they teach false doctrine, when men teach false doctrine, the wicked spirits are teaching through them. Do you see why it's important for you to follow John's advice here when he says, believe not every spirit? In your next reference in Proverbs 14:15, Solomon says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Folks, that's good advice. I don't care what dispensation you're living in. Instead of believing every spirit of every prophet, we need to do what John says in the next part of the verse. Try the spirits. Now that word try, we don't use it that way too often, but it means to test. In your next reference, speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, the fire, and he's talking about the fire of God's Word, the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. He's talking about how the fire of God's Word is going to test our work when we stand before Him. That very next reference you have there, 1 Peter 4:12, Peter says to these same tribulation Jews, he says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, which is to test you." That's the meaning of the word try, to test. So, John is saying here in our text, don't believe every prophet. Test the prophets. You say, well, how do we test a prophet? How do we test to see if a man is a true prophet or a false prophet? Well, a lot of people would say, well, that's easy. You just find out if he can work a miracle. But we've talked about this before. You got to remember, miracles are no proof that God is involved. How many of you remember the miracles that Moses did before Pharaoh? And then how many of you remember how Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate those miracles? How many of you remember that the Antichrist, according to your next reference, the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 is called even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And remember what we said about that? Lying wonders aren't false miracles, like the religious charlatans today like to say that they can do. Oh no. Antichrist will perform legitimate miracles that cause you to believe a lie. That's why they're called lying wonders. And tribulation saints, and don't forget this is a tribulation book, they're going to know better than to look at the miracles he does and say that that's a real prophet of God. That's someone who's speaking for God. And the reason these tribulation saints are going to know better than that is because of your next reference in Jeremiah chapter 31. God makes them a promise. He says, "I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." They're going to have the law of God written in their hearts. And if you know the law of God well, you know that the law warns against believing a man's a true prophet just because he can work a miracle. And if you don't remember where that verse is at, well, look at your next reference in Deuteronomy 13 and verses 1 to 4. Watch carefully what he says here. This is important stuff. Moses says, "If there arise among you a prophet and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let's go after other gods, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet." Now that's a passage you need to meditate on, because you see what he's saying there? If a prophet comes along and performs a legitimate, genuine miracle, but while he does that, he says, let's go after other gods and worship them, Moses says, don't listen to him. Don't believe his words just because he can work a miracle. The test of a prophet is not in the miracle that he can perform or not perform. The test of a prophet is in the words he speaks. You see that in your next reference, in Revelation 2, verse 2. In Revelation 2, verse 2, God commends this church, this tribulation church, and He says, you have tried or tested them which say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Now, when you test someone and you find out that they're a liar, what did you test them for? You didn't test them for miracles. You tested them to see if they were telling the truth by measuring what they said against the Word of God. That's how you test a prophet. And the reason you have to test the spirits of the prophets is because, as the rest of verse 1 goes on to say, many false prophets are gone out into the world. That was true way back in the day when John wrote those words. It'll be true in the tribulation, but folks, it's true today. Let me ask you this. When has it not been true that many false prophets have gone out into the world? Because of that, we need to follow this passage too. We too need to believe not every preacher. We too need to test the spirits of the men who stand before us and claim to represent God. We need to try these spirits with the Word of God rightly divided. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, remember, we're talking about testing the spirits of the prophets. And remember I said the false prophets speak by an unholy spirit? Well, John here is telling him how to tell if that prophet is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Now today, in the dispensation of grace, the way you know a man is speaking by the Holy Spirit is he stands in front of you and says, Christ died for our sins. That's because that's the gospel of salvation today in the dispensation of grace. But that is not how John says you can tell if a man is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Not what he says here, is it? John says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's because in John's day, that was the gospel of salvation. Remember, we've covered this many times. They had to believe Israel's Christ had already come in the flesh, and it was Jesus. So, if you think about it, this test here that John's giving, that's not going to work today. Today it's not enough just to believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Today you have to believe that the one who came in the flesh died for your sins. That's part of why, in your next reference, that's part of why in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh. The thing about the Lord's flesh is He was Israel's Christ. He was Israel's Messiah. That's not how we know Him. Today you have to know Him as the one who paid for your sins. But John's readers, they're Hebrews. And the issue for them is, was Christ who He said He was? That's why he goes on in the next verse, in verse 3, and he says, and every spirit that this is back in your Bible now, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Now, in the beginning of the verse there, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, who in the world in John's day would deny that Christ had come in the flesh? Who would go around saying, well, Christ hasn't come? I mean, there were still eyewitnesses around when he wrote these words, that Christ had come in the flesh. But, you know, he didn't get everywhere. And in those days, nobody ever saw the Lord on TV. They didn't hear his voice on the radio. They didn't even see so much as a picture of him in the newspaper. So even though the Lord was just among them, in the flesh, there was a whole lot of Jews that didn't believe that he'd come in the flesh. Oh, sure, they'd heard that he'd come, but they were smart enough to believe only half of what they saw and none of what they heard. Now, if you think about it, there's a lot of people today that don't believe Christ has come in the flesh. And we have a word for those people. You know what we call them? Jews. They don't believe their Christ has come yet. They're still looking for him. Now fast forward to the tribulation, because this is a tribulation book. In the tribulation, the Lord will not have been here for 2,000 years. It's going to be easy to doubt that he came in the flesh for those people, folks. Especially when Antichrist is standing there in the flesh, claiming that he's God. So there's going to be a lot of folks saying, he didn't come 2,000 years ago in the flesh. And when they do that, here in verse 3, John says they're going to be exhibiting the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Now what does that mean? Well, bear with me here a minute. The way you think causes you to say things, right? There's a spirit within you that comes out when you talk. Look at your next reference, Job 20, verse 3. In Job 20, verse 3, Job says, the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. The spirit within you causes you to say things, and then when you say things, that spirit comes out. Look at the next reference, Job 26, 4. To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit? Spirit came out of you when you uttered those words. See how that works? There's a spirit within you. And when you talk, it comes out. And so when people think that Jesus is not the Christ, it causes them to say that. And when they say that, you don't have to wonder whose spirit that's coming out of them, because John says it's the spirit of Antichrist. They might think it's their own spirit. John says it's the spirit of Antichrist coming out of them. He's the one that's going to be saying Jesus Christ was an imposter. I'm the real thing. And when tribulation Jews go around saying Christ hasn't come in the flesh, when they say that before he even shows up, and they will, because they believe that now, they're not going to know that this spirit coming out of them is the spirit of Antichrist. Remember when the apostles... look at your next reference in Luke 9. Remember what the apostles said when a bunch of people didn't receive the Lord? Luke 9, 53. It says these people didn't receive him. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he's, you know, probably shaking his head. He said, watch what he says here. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You see, folks, a spirit within them caused them to say that. But it wasn't the Spirit of God. How do you know? Because it didn't jive with the Word of God. The Word of God said that He came to save people, not destroy them. So when tribulation Jews deny that Christ has come, they're not going to know what spirit they are of when they say those words. They're not going to know they're expressing the spirit of Antichrist. But listen, when he shows up, they're going to be ripe for the picking. Because they've already got the spirit of Antichrist within them. And they'll recognize him and say, yeah, this is the guy we've been waiting for. All right, one more thing about the spirit of Antichrist. John says about this spirit in verse 3, whereof ye have heard that it should come. See that right there toward the end of verse 3? This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Now, where did they hear that? Well, there's a lot of verses that say Antichrist is going to come, but when it comes to hearing that the spirit of Antichrist is going to come, look at your next reference in Matthew 24:23. Remember when the Lord said in Matthew 24:23, He says, in that day, and He's talking about that tribulation period, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ. Or over there, what does He say to do? Believe it not. Well, folks, for a man to say, look, here's Christ, they're going to have to deny that Christ has already come in the flesh, right? So I think when the Lord said those words, that's when they heard that the spirit of Antichrist is coming. All right, now, in verse 3 at the end, he says about this spirit of Antichrist that they heard that would come. He says, even now, already, it's in the world. And he's talking about how it was in the world among the unbelieving Jews, folks. They're the ones that didn't believe Christ had come in the flesh. You know the thing that proved that Jesus was the Christ more than anything else? It was the resurrection. It was when He rose from the dead that proved that Christ had come in the flesh. Do you know what the unbelieving Jews believed? And a lot of them still believe about the resurrection? Look at your next reference on the back side of your page. In Matthew 28:11, talking about the guards who were guarding the tomb, the watchmen. In Matthew 28:11, some of the guards showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done, how the Lord rose from the dead. And the chief priests gave them large money to the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now that's a good one. How do you know what goes on when you're sleeping? You see, we were sleeping and the disciples came in. Well, how do you know? You were sleeping. And look at the end of that passage there in verse 15. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this very day. That is what unbelieving Jews believe about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe He's come in the flesh. The spirit of Antichrist was already working in John's day. The spirit that said He wasn't come in the flesh yet. Now remember when the Lord told the apostles that they didn't know what spirit they were of when they wanted to call down the fire? In our next verse, John goes on to tell his readers what spirit they were of. And back in your Bible now, in verse 4, he says, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, these false prophets who deny that Christ has come. He says, you've overcome them. How'd they do that? Well, see that word because? John's about to tell you how. You've overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So now we got to ask, who was in them? Look at your next reference on your page, John 14:17. The Lord predicted the Spirit, with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, shall be in you. But listen, folks, as you know, the Spirit's just one member of the Trinity. The Trinity can't be separated. And over here in the next reference, in John 14:23, Jesus answered, "If a man love me, my Father will love him, and we, me and my Father, will come unto him and make our abode with him." Folks, when this verse here back in your Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you that is in the world," it's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. No wonder it says, "He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Who's that, by the way? Well, look at your next reference. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul talks about the God of the... and that's a small g. "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not." Who's that? Well, that'd be the devil. He's the one that's in the world, folks. If you want to know why the world is such a miserable place, morally and spiritually speaking, I'm not talking about the beauty of the planet, of the mountains and the streams and stuff like that. If you want to know why this planet is such a miserable place, spiritually and morally speaking, it's because Christ isn't in the world, folks. Satan is. And when bad things happen, you don't call them acts of God. God's not in charge, folks. Satan is. Well, anyway, these saints, they're going to be able to overcome these false prophets who were saying that Christ hadn't come in the flesh because of the of who that was within them, the Spirit within them, controlling them. That's the only way they're going to be able to overcome these people who deny that Christ has already come. Now, you think about that. The only reason they're not fooled into thinking that Christ hasn't come is because they're going to be filled and controlled with God's Spirit. Does that help you understand when in your next reference in Mark 13:22, when the Lord said, you know, false Christs and false prophets are going to arise and they're going to show signs and wonders to seduce, if it was possible, even the elect? You know what he's saying? The seducers in that day are going to be so powerfully seductive, they would even fool the elect saints of God. And the only reason they're not going to be able to do that, this verse says, is because there's going to be one within them greater. That's how powerful that seduction's going to be. Verse 5. Speaking of these Christ-denying false prophets, they are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. Everybody just speaks what, you know, what the things they're of. And the world heareth them. John says these false prophets are of the world. That's the spirit they were of. So they spoke the things of the world. And when it says the world heareth them, that doesn't mean that they heard the words coming out of their mouth. Anybody can hear the words. When John says the world hears these false prophets, it means they hear and agree and accept their words. Look at your next reference, Proverbs 13:1. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction." Now, it doesn't take wisdom to hear the words coming out of his mouth. Anybody with a couple of ears can hear the words coming out of his mouth. When Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction," it means he accepts them. He agrees with them, right? That's what John means when he says the world hears these false prophets. The world agrees with what they're saying and accepts what they're saying. And the reason they're going to accept that lie is because they refuse the truth. That is always the case. If, listen, mark it down, write it down, never forget it. If you refuse God's truth, you're going to be ripe for the devil's lie. In fact, let me show you a couple verses. In fact, you're going to demand that the prophets lie to you. Because you don't want God's truth. You heard God's truth and say, I don't like that. Give me something else. We demand you stop telling us that and give us something else. Look at your next reference. Isaiah 30, verse 9. In Isaiah 30, verse 9, speaking about Israel, God says, this is a rebellious people. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. So, what do? They say to the seers, that's the old word for a prophet, they say to the seers, stop seeing these things that you're telling us that God is showing you. They say to the seers, see not. And they say to the prophets, prophesy not right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Even if they're deceits, we want to hear them. Get you out of the way. Get out of our way with all this God Jehovah business. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Whew. Men who refuse the truth love the lie and demand that lies be told them. Look at your next reference, Jeremiah 5:31. In Jeremiah's day, God says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and what? My people love to have it so. What an indictment! Now, do you know what happens if that keeps up, that kind of thing keeps up? Things just get worse and worse and worse until finally, look at Micah 2:11, your next reference. In Micah 2:11, God puts on a little sarcasm here. In Micah 2:11, He says, if a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, Micah is saying, the people of Israel in my day are so depraved, so debauched, that if a prophet stands up in front of them and says, let's go get drunk, that's the word of the Lord, you're going to believe it. Micah says, if a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he'll be the prophet of this people. That's the kind of guy they're looking for. Whew. That's the kind of guy they'll hear. That's the kind of guy who they'll agree with. That's the kind of guy they'll accept his words. Yeah, that sounds good to us. And if you're thinking that would never happen, think again. Once you refuse truth, you will always not only be ripe and open for the lie, you'll demand it. Especially lies that appeal to your flesh. And don't think that can't happen today, because our Apostle Paul, in your next reference in 2 Timothy 4:3, in 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul predicts the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And if they don't want the truth, what are they going to do? After their own lusts, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll just pile on the teachers to come along and say, you know, my ears, we're tired of this truth. Come scratch my ears with some lies. After my own lusts. That's not always a sexual lust, but you know what it reminds me of? That polygamist out west that got arrested, that church leader who had dozens of spiritual quote-unquote wives who were underage girls. Raise your hand if you remember that story in the news, a couple months ago? There you go. You look at that and you say, who on earth would believe that's a religion? And the answer is there were hundreds of people in that cult. In the tribulation, they're going to love the lie too. In your next reference, 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter predicts there's going to be false teachers among you and what, just a few people are going to follow their pernicious ways? No. You got a misprint if that's what it says. Many people shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth is going to be evil spoken of. What's that old expression? A lie will get halfway around the world before truth gets its shoes on. Look at verse 6. We're almost done. In verse 6, John says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. And this is how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, when you look at verse 6, it sounds like he's repeating verse 4. Remember what he said in verse 4? He says, "Ye are of God, little children." But now he changes the pronoun. He doesn't say, "Ye are of God." He says, "We are of God." He's talking about himself and James and John, the apostles, and the words they spoke in the epistles of James, Peter, and John. He says, "We are of God, and he that knows God hears us." Doesn't just hear the words coming out of our mouths or read the words on the page we've written. "We are of God. He that knows God hears us, agrees with us, accepts our words." And what are they going to be saying? Well, let me take you back to the prophet Micah in your sheet there. What did the prophet Micah have to say? What did a true prophet of God say in Micah's day? Micah 3 and verse 8. Micah 3 verse 8, Micah says, "Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." That's the kind of spirit he was of. "To declare unto Jacob," that's Israel, "to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." A true prophet in Israel did not prophesy smooth things. The true prophet in Israel ran roughshod over the people of Israel, telling them about their transgressions. Did you ever hear the old expression, speaking of old 60s expressions, "Tell it like it is, brother. Tell it like it is." How many raise your hand if you remember that? If you're old enough to remember when we used to go around saying, "Tell it like it is." Well, listen, a true prophet of God always tells it like it is. And the problem with that is sinners don't like to hear it when you tell it like it is. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't agree. They don't accept it because they don't like it. They hear it when preachers prophesy smooth things, right? But it was a prophet's job in ancient Israel to tell Israel about her sins, and I'll tell you why. Remember, God dealt with Israel differently than He deals with you. He dealt with them as a nation. And in that tribulation period, the only way they're going to get their kingdom is when the nation recognizes their sin. When the nation confesses their sins. That's why in ancient Israel, the prophets always told the nation about their sins. And that's why that's what they're going to do in that future day too. Now, here we've got a dispensational difference. Because it was Micah's job to tell the nation their sins. It is not my job to tell our nation her sins. And it's not your job to tell America her sins either. Because God's not dealing with the nation of America like He dealt with the nation of Israel. To get God's blessing, Israel had to be good and had to confess and had to repent, and then they'd get their kingdom. But that's not true today. That's not true of you. As a member of the body of Christ living in the dispensation of grace, God is dealing with individuals today. Your job is to tell individuals that they have sinned and need to be saved. And 99.9% of preachers don't know that it's not their job to tell this country about their sins. And you know why? It's because 99% of them don't rightly divide the word of truth. And I think preachers need to stop trying to save the country and try to save people. And listen, if you know anything about people, that's the only way you're going to save the country anyway. Get people to know Christ as their Savior. In verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth us not. He that knoweth God hears us, accepts our words. That's always true. People who know the Word of God, people who know God, when they hear the Word of God, they say, yeah, that's right. And that's the subject of your last three verses. John 8:47, the Lord said, he that is of God heareth, accepteth, agrees with God's words. John 18:37, for this cause came I unto the world, the Lord said, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth hears my voice, agrees, accepts. And John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. That's what he's saying here in verse 6. Back in your Bible, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. And that's how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, in closing, maybe you're listening to all this and you're thinking, that's a lot of hooey. That's a lot of nonsense. You hear the Word of God, but you don't accept that this is the Word of God. That's okay. You'll have an eternity to think about it and regret it. You and the devil and the Antichrist will get to spend some quality time in the lake of fire. Unless you believe not only that Jesus was the Christ, but He was the Christ who paid for your sins. And if you don't think you've sinned enough to go to the lake of fire for all eternity, God thinks differently. If you don't think you've sinned bad enough for that, God thinks you sinned bad enough that the only thing that could save you was the death of His Son. And unless you think that, unless you agree and accept that, you cannot be saved. And if you're saved this morning, when are you going to start getting serious about the things of God? Because folks, if you don't, you too are going to have an eternity to regret it. When are you going to start saying, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to spend time with God's Word. I'm going to come to Him in prayer and say, Lord, what do You want me to do today? And then you need to come to one day where you say, God, what do You want me to do with my life? I want to be serious about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you think that hell is the only place where they're going to have regrets, think again. That old saying says there's only one life and it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture that reminds us of the importance of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so as we go forth from this place, no matter what we see in our lives, the discouraging things in our lives, the discouraging things in the lives of those around us, the discouraging things in the country and in the planet, help us to walk by faith, knowing the victory's coming. This world isn't going to continue forever in sin and degradation. You're going to make things right. But in the meantime, we can be part of what you're doing to make things right in the lives of your people, in our own lives, by giving heed to your word. Make this the burden of our hearts, I pray, and I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Thornton's going to come up and lead us in a chorus. And then let's say it's about 10 after. Let's say for our ladies' meeting, I'll give you a few minutes. Let's make it 12:30. And we'll meet right around in the front of the auditorium here at 12:30.
Let's all sing.
Stand and sing.
First,
Stand and sing.
Let's all stand and sing the first stanza of Blessed Be the Tide of Heaven. No, we didn't get down before yet.
Well, then, now's a good time.
Fourth verse.
Thank you.